I think that most of you will agree that Christmas is a wonderful holiday, even one of the greatest times of the year. Now, I know it's a difficult time for some. There are some who have lost loved ones at this season, or perhaps they're at a point in life where they are now alone and this season has become very difficult for them. But for most, whether they are young or old, the Christmas celebration is something that we look forward to, and it's something that we enjoy each and every year. But even though this is true, the message of Christmas, the message of the Christian faith, is something that has gotten all jumbled up along the way. And when I say this, I'm not talking about the materialism that's associated with our Christmas holiday today. I'm not talking about the fact that our stores begin promoting Christmas in October. I'm not talking about the fact that in many ways the whole economy of our nation is built around how much money we spend during the Christmas season. And I'm not talking about the big argument that you've heard on TV throughout this whole season about whether people should wish us a happy holidays or a Merry Christmas. Those are important issues and they should be talked about. But when I say that the message of Christmas has gotten jumbled up along the way, I'm referring to the message itself and not these side issues that are tied in with it. I'm talking about what this day means to the millions of people who celebrate it, both here in this country and also all around the world. I'm not sure when it happened. I'm not sure how it happened. But somewhere along the line, it seems, the message of Christmas has been changed. It's been transformed from a message of grace and love to a message of works and entitlement. And we can see this in so many ways. One of the ways, I told my wife this was partly inspired by my daughter, one of the ways we see this is in one of the songs that our children sing at this time of year. You better watch out, you better not cry, right? You better not pout, I'm telling you why. He's making a list, checking it twice. Gonna find out who's naughty and nice. And I realize that most of us, we mindlessly sing this song, associating it with Christmas. Most of us think of it as just a cute little song to sing with our kids. But if we really pay attention to what it says, it occurred to me that it really goes against the message of this day, the message of Christmas. It teaches our young people that they get gifts not because of grace and mercy, not because of our love for them, but they get gifts instead because they deserve them, because they have been good. It teaches them that they have to be good if they want to be rewarded, if they want to get presents on Christmas Day. Now, some people may think that I'm blowing things out of proportion or making a mountain out of a molehill, but listen as I make my case. This false idea, this false teaching is found in many other Christmas traditions other than just this song that I mentioned. I don't know if anyone has actually followed through with it, but Christmas tradition says that naughty boys and girls, instead of getting presents, get a lump of coal in their stocking. And how many parents, as Christmas approaches, have said to their kids, remember, Christmas is coming. It would probably be easier to count the parents who haven't said this than those who have. I like how one of the people at the Ashton congregation put it last night. They said that we use Christmas as a weapon with our kids, rather than something to instill joy and hope in them. And even Christian parents who are doing their best to instill the Christian faith in their kids are guilty of this. But again, when we do this, we are telling them that because it's Christmas, they have to be good. We essentially tell them that they'll only be good, or they'll only get gifts, they'll only receive their presents if they are deserving and if they are worthy. Now, it's true that many of our Christmas traditions have nothing to do with the meaning of the day. It's true that many of them developed centuries after Christ's birth. And it's true that many of them are done just for fun, not because they are really tied in with the meaning of the day. So maybe in one sense, we shouldn't expect everything we do in our Christmas celebration to match up with the message. But considering the fact that this is our faith, and considering the fact that this is what Christmas is really all about. Our traditions should reflect the meaning of the day, and they should accurately communicate the message of the gospel. And I realize that many people are hard-pressed to do this. They don't know how to incorporate the message of the gospel into the holiday because they don't even understand the gospel message. You see, this problem of the Christmas message getting all mixed up is found more in these little traditions that we do with our kids. It's also found in the hearts of the people. Even though we have sat in church for years and years, and even though we have heard the message of the gospel proclaimed over and over, so many of us still don't get it. Most adults in our society today think that they are deserving or somehow entitled to the blessings of God. And so again, this message is carried over into Christmas. They think they'll be saved. They think that they'll make it into heaven because they are good people, because they have done all the right things throughout the years. But this isn't the message given to us in the Word of God. And this is not the message of our Christmas celebration. The message of Christmas is just the opposite, in fact. The message of Christmas is not that God sent Jesus into the world because we deserved it. It's not that He saved us from sin and death because we have been so good. The message of Christmas is that God saved us because of His grace, and that He sent Jesus because of His great love for us. And we can see this as we look at our epistle lesson for this morning. And actually, I want to pick up a verse earlier than where I had Paul begin reading. I made a mistake there. But let's pick up in verse 3. Paul says there, "For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by His grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life." Now in this passage, especially if we look back to the very beginning of it, we see that Paul is very clear about the condition of all people before they come to faith in Jesus Christ. He minces no words about our life before we placed our faith in Jesus. Christians are not people who have always done everything right. They are not people who have been goody-goodies throughout the years. They are sinners like everyone else. He says that we too were once foolish and disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures. And he isn't only talking about other believers when he says this. He includes himself in this statement as well. Paul himself, you remember, even though he was a very religious Jew before he came to faith in Jesus, he was also at one point a persecutor of the church. He too was a sinner. And he needed God's salvation as much as anyone. Scripture, it tells us of our guilt over and over again. And even though we don't like to think about it, it's very important to the Christmas message. In Romans 3, Paul says that none is righteous. He says that no one does good and that no one seeks for God. He says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. In Ecclesiastes 7:20 we read, "Surely there is not a righteous man on earth who does good and never sins." And in Psalm 51, not only does David confess that he is a sinner and that he did many wrong things throughout his life, but also that he was born in sin, that he was a sinner from the time of conception. Scripture is also clear about what each one of us deserves because of our sin. In Romans 6:23, Paul tells us that the wages of sin is death. And over again, Scripture tells us that the wicked, that those who live in sin, will not inherit the kingdom of God. The simple fact of the matter is that none of us deserve eternal life. None of us deserve to be saved. We are all guilty, and the only thing any of us deserve is to spend an eternity in hell. The message of Christmas, The message of the gospel then is a message of redemption. It's not about getting what we deserve. It's not about getting the things that we are entitled to. Actually, it's about getting what we don't deserve. It's about grace. We receive God's gift of Jesus in spite of our sin. Jesus was born into this world, even though we don't deserve Him, even though we are completely unworthy. And He gave His life. He died for us, even though we deserve nothing other than the judgment of God. In our lesson for today, Paul says that when the goodness and loving kindness of God appeared, He saved us. And again, He saved us not because of good things we have done, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy. So here, Paul is telling Titus, and also each one of us, that salvation is because of His grace. Again, it wasn't something that he deserved. It's not something that we deserve. It's not something that is earned. It's something that is freely given by God. And we see this message repeated again throughout Scripture. We can look at the words of Paul in Romans 5, for example, where he says, "For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And so again, Paul gives us the same message in this passage. He tells us that Jesus came for us when we were weak. He says that Jesus died for us when we were ungodly. He didn't wait for us to improve ourselves before He came into the world. He didn't wait for us to pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps before He redeemed us. He came for us while we were still guilty, while we were still undeserving. And so His salvation, the blessing that He gives, is purely the result of His mercy and His grace. His love for us is revealed in the fact that while we are still sinners, Jesus came into this world and died for us. We see this message in the words of Paul in Ephesians 2, verses 1 to 5. "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." So even though we too were once dead in sin, even though each one of us also at one time followed the devil, Paul tells us, even though we too once lived for our sinful desires and passions, God made us alive with Christ. Even though we in no way deserved it, He saved us. And He did this because of His great love for us. God said something very similar to the people of Israel back in the Old Testament. In Deuteronomy 7, He said to them, "For you are a people holy to the Lord. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for His treasured possession out of all the peoples on the face of the earth. It was not because you were more in number than any of the people that the Lord set His love on you and chose you, for you are the fewest of all peoples. But it's because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath that He swore to your fathers, that the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery." So in these words, God told the people of Israel that He didn't choose them to be His people, that He didn't set His love on them because they were the greatest or most powerful nation on earth. In fact, He told them the exact opposite. He chose them even though they were the weakest and the smallest of the nations. He chose them because He loved them. He chose them because He was faithful to the promise that He had made to their forefathers centuries before. The fact that they were made His people was purely an act of His grace and mercy. And we see this once again in Ephesians 2 in the verses that most of us know, verses 8 and 9. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. And this passage says it all. Because God's salvation is given to us as a free gift, no one has any reason in which to boast. No one can say that they are saved because they are so good, because they have done all the right things. No one can say they've earned their way into heaven or deserved God's blessings. Again, it's only because of God's love and mercy that we have received this gift. And we have received this gift only by faith in Christ. This, you see, is the message of the gospel, and this is the message of Christmas. Just as we see in the words of the angel in Matthew 1 when he came to Joseph, Jesus came into this world to save his people from their sins. If we were not sinful, if we were not undeserving, there would have been no reason for Jesus to take on flesh and become man and be born as a baby. If we were not sinful and undeserving, there would have been no reason for him to give his life upon the cross. He came because of our helplessness. He came that he might provide for us the blessing that we could in no way attain for ourselves. Just as Jesus said to his disciples in Mark 10, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Now, because this is the message of Christmas, this is also the mindset that should be reflected in our Christmas celebration. We should make it clear that the gifts that are given on this day are not earned. They are not deserved in any way, but they are freely given out of love. And yes, we want our children to behave. Yes, we want them to be good. You know, we can discipline them just as we do throughout the rest of the year. We don't need to use Christmas as a weapon. It's not proper for us to use the Christmas holiday as a bribe. It's not proper for us to change the message of this day in order to get them to listen to us. The gifts they receive must not be dependent upon their goodness. We must not teach them that they earn or deserve their gifts. The gifts that are given should instead show that even though they don't deserve it, even though they haven't really behaved all that well throughout the course of the year, or even in the days leading up to Christmas, that we love them, and that we love them in the same way that God loves them. Our love is a free gift, and the gifts given to them are gifts of grace. Now, I realize that for many people sitting here today, this message, maybe it's a day too late. The space under your tree is empty, your trash can is filled with ripped up paper and boxes. You've already given this message to your young people in your home or those in your life, maybe even for many years. But it's not too late. Even though we may have twisted the meaning of this day just like our society has, even though we may have done this for years on end, we can start anew right now. We can begin teaching them the true message of the gospel, and we can begin reflecting that message in our celebration each and every year. We can proclaim in our Christmas celebration that the blessings given by God and that the gifts given and received on this day are truly gifts of love and grace. Amen.